Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Rhubarb Brown. JT Holton is away with us this weekend. Josh, me and JT actually recorded this fire podcast last weekend.
I heard about this.
Previewing the dogs, talking about the Braves season and wrap up, and it was so hot that the system we record on melted down and didn't record it.
Yeah.
So that one got lost into the ether.
Mm.
But me and JT spent a good hour talking to each other and enjoying it. It was rather pleasant, you know. Getting to see him without you, it's always a nice day.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm sure you feel the same.
Yeah. Except our podcasts drop when we record them together. So maybe that was some, you know, maybe the Lord was, because I don't know. Maybe the Lord knew that y'all was going to suck and I wasn't there. And then,
yeah,
you know, things happen. Weird things happen.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like a Julio Teheran start, you know, right. Everybody was hyped up and ready for it. And then, you know, somebody else hit it out of the park. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it felt, you know,
yep.
I'm just
yep.
saying. But so tonight, that means you and I are going to put a bow on the Braves season. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a weird saying. Why do you put a bow on it? Does like putting a bow, I guess like putting a bow on a package means you're like done with the package. Is that what, I don't know. Feels weird.
It's just a figure of speech, you know, put a bow on it.
Maybe it's like a bow and arrow. Like if you put a bow on it, it like, you know, it's about to die.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. Huh?
Has it been a season?
Weird.
Have we had a baseball season?
You want a weird? Yeah. Yeah. 60 games at least. Okay.
Less
weird religious moment,
less
Josh.
Than half of a regular season, right?
Yeah. Did you know that the rainbow that God put for Noah when the ark landed is actually a sign of a bow and arrow and God cutting covenant and saying, if I ever flood the earth again, may this bow shoot into me? Interesting, cool stuff, right?
I did not know that. I always thought it was had something to do with like leprechauns and a pot of gold and stuff.
I mean, pretty much. That's, you know, that's where the ark landed, so there's a pot of gold there. I don't know. Anyway, Josh, Braves played 60 games. They won their division despite people picking against them. I know you enjoy the poking the fun at the old bloggers about the fact that what's the old crazy guy's name that picked the Braves to be fourth because Nick Markakis was going to be out?
He's not crazy. John Morosi. I like John Morosi.
Yeah, John's kind of crazy. I mean, his picks were terrible. He had Philly in first. He had Washington up trying to repeat.
Well, I don't know. I mean, hey, at the time, it wasn't that crazy.
Yeah, because Nick Markakis had opted out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did mm-hmm. say the Braves would be in fourth place without Nick Markakis, and I don't see how he was wrong about that, because if I was paying attention, it sounded like Markakis opted back in, at which point the Braves made everybody their bitch, and then they won the division.
Maybe so. Yeah.
So I don't think Morosi was wrong. I hold him in high regard right now.
I mean, I can see it. The only problem I have with what you're saying, Josh, is the fact that Nick has batted .254, been worth minus .3 WAR. Only had a .312 OBP and it has an OPS plus of 84.
I don't recognize anything that you just said. All I know.
Do you know he had 33 hits this year?
Did you know there was
only 33
60
hits?
Games played this year? Also,
I mean, he only played in 37 of them. I'm just saying.
Okay, so he had a hit in more than half of the games he played. Okay. Also, so Travis d'Arnaud and the other teammates on his team have said publicly that when he came back, it really did something to that clubhouse. And
it did.
Mark DeRosa,
I totally agree.
DeRosa said it was like getting their dad back. So you can spit out all of your fake stats at me all you want to, because it doesn't matter.
Well, they're not fake, Josh.
It doesn't matter.
They're not fake,
you know what
Josh.
Matters? It matters what's in your heart. And the Braves won.
Nick Markakis, the love of Nick Markakis is shed abroad in Josh's heart. I get it.
Won handedly. They didn't, you know, it doesn't matter. Stats don't matter. Nick Markakis,
you know, Josh, I think
advanced metrics.
Is this the moment where we say they won in spite of Nick Markakis? Is this that moment where you get to, you know, make your joke about the fact that the Braves wanted to spite Nick Markakis? I get
no,
it.
They won.
It was not his best season, Josh. It was not his best season. I'm normally a Markakis fan. I'm with you.
It was 60 games. That's less than half of a season. A full season is 162 games. This is a 60-game season. It's not even a season. I don't care. This would be like crowning the National League, you know, batting champ in like June. It would be the same thing.
Not exactly.
Yeah, it would be. Exactly. Just do the math. 60 games.
I mean,
when 60 games? June?
Okay, you're the one last year said that baseball season needed to be shorter, and when you found out that this was going to only be 60 games,
but
you told
us 60 games.
It was a great season.
Okay, I didn't say 60 games.
So, you know, like I say, I normally Nick Markakis stan, not the biggest best year for Nick.
What are you talking about?
He had a really good...
It doesn't matter. He came back, and they set the woods on fire. His first game back, walk-off homer, okay?
True.
His last few games, yeah, for sure. Slump. I don't care. Whatever. Braves in first place. Doesn't matter. They love the guy. They're happy he's back. Who cares?
I don't disagree with you, Josh. I can criticize his performance and not think it's the worst thing in the world that he's on the team. I just said he hasn't had the best Nick Markakis year.
Who cares?
I mean,
the Cardinals suck this year.
So here,
lots of good teams suck.
Here's the thing.
You know what? It's not even a season.
Here's the thing. August, he batted .368. That's phenomenal. .429 OBP. OPS plus .173, one of the best hitters on the team against right-handed pitching. September, .164, OBP, .218.
Wow, 2 months. Whew. Wow. Baseball is a marathon, not a sprint. I don't give a shit about two. I don't care about a month.
But, Josh, it's only 2 months this year. I get that you don't think it's real, but if the Braves win the World Series this year, it is a World Series.
Well, then Nick Markakis will be there. He'll get a ring. Good for him.
Right, and will you count it as a complete
Maybe.
Season then?
Ask me that.
Will you rub it in the faces of Nats fans and Phillies fans and Marlins fans that the Braves won a World Series?
I don't know. It's possible.
It's 100% true. So, you know, give a little respect. That being said, Freddie Freeman, you are the one that informed us that Freddie Freeman wasn't really clutch, that
he couldn't really be
a leader in the clubhouse.
I never said that. You
actually did say that on this podcast.
I don't remember.
You said he's not the vocal leader type, I believe was the word you said.
He's a dweeb from California who thinks he's from Canada. So yeah, he's
no. He thinks his mom's from Canada, who died of cancer when he was like 13 or something.
He's Canadian. He's not Canadian.
Okay. I don't think he thinks that, Josh.
Why did
he
play for the Canadia? World Baseball Classic.
Canadia? I guess because his mom's from Canadia, okay. As you called it, and he wanted to honor her, I guess.
Why did he turn his back on his country?
Why are you wearing a Chicago Bears jersey?
Yeah, I love the Bears.
While we're recording this podcast, why do you turn your back on your country? Why did you cheer for Alabama for so many years when you were obviously from dog country?
Because they fired Mark Rick.
Why did you pretend to be an Alabama? Why did you pretend to be an Alabamian?
Why are you all up on my grill right now?
I'm just saying. Yeah, you're just trying to record a podcast. That's what you're doing. I get it. I see through your schemes. What about Freddie Freeman, though? Seriously, Josh, it's been one heck of a year. I get it's not a full year, but
he's had a great 60
everybody.
Games.
Everybody he competed against also had 60 games. So I'm just saying, he's the best player in Major League Baseball currently.
He's had the best 60 games this year. Of anyone offensively. Agreed.
Do you think if it were a whole season, he would not have been?
I think he would have been. But baseball is weird. It really is weird.
Sure. And, I mean, injury can take you out, obviously.
Not just injury. You can hit a cold spell.
But
baseball's just weird. And like, in a regular season, August gets weird sometimes. September gets, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, he's been amazing this year, of course.
Yeah, and he had COVID to start the year off. And, I mean, it obviously did have a pretty scary effect on him compared to some people. I know some people are asymptomatic, but he was not. He was pretty sick.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of cool. It's a cool story. I hope he wins MVP. I kind of hope he doesn't. I'm torn. If he wins MVP, that means he's going to get a lot more money when he re-signs his contract. If he doesn't win MVP, I mean, if he does MVP, it's just cool for the Braves to actually have an MVP.
Will we have more podcast content if he doesn't win MVP than if he does?
Very possibly, at least for an episode or two until we forget about it. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you're probably right. Mookie Betts, though, biggest competition. Mookie had a good year. I mean, but you kind of expect Mookie to have 60 games of good play when he's getting paid, you know, what he's getting paid to be a Dodger for 10 years, just like Mike Trout. I mean, it's
yeah, I forgot about crazy. That. A 10-year deal?
I think it was. Something along those lines. Yeah, crazy money.
I like Mookie Betts, so he's from Nashville.
He's a good dude. I think he's a great baseball player, too.
He's all right.
You know what's crazy, though, Josh? What might be crazier than Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, and, you know, Fernando Tatis, who's obviously a superstar in the making, being in the finals. If the Braves were the Yankees, right? If the Braves played in New York, got all the TV coverage, all that stuff, it would be Freddie Freeman and Marcell Ozuna that people would be considering for the MVP. Because there's a case that can be made that Ozuna has actually been more valuable than Freddie. It's a thin ice case, but if you prefer your home runs and your RBIs,
he's been better than he's been better than Mookie Betts.
I mean, it's yeah. The only thing is, you do have to dart Marcell because his defense isn't Mookie Betts' defense. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times he's even playing DH, so he doesn't get
defense,
the defensive
defense
value
is,
added
is
in
overrated.
There.
I follow this account on Twitter called Nakahoma Nation, and they broke it down. Here we go. Ozuna versus Betts. Ozuna, 69 hits. Betts, 62. Doubles. Ozuna has 13. Mookie has 9. Dingers. This was like 5 days ago, so it might be different now because I think Ozuna hits 5 dingers a day or something. But Ozuna had 17 and Mookie had 16. Runs, about similar. I mean, Ozuna had 34. Mookie had 44. Ozuna had 53 ribbies, 39 ribbies for Mookie. Average, batting average. That's an advanced metric right there. Talk about some scientific notation that just gets way over people's heads sometimes. Ozuna's hitting 327 as of 5 days ago.
As of today, he's hitting 338 with 18 home runs.
Wow.
18 home runs.
5 days ago.
Scored 38 runs and drove in 56. On-base percentage, .431. His OPS for the 60 days was 175 plus. I mean,
that's when you know it's such a short season.
That's incredible.
His OPS has jumped from I don't have it. Sorry. His OBP 5 days ago was 412, and it's what now?
431.
So it's just... In 5 days, that just shows you it's a small sample size, 30 games.
And some of that, though, is that he hit that and got on base that much, too, and walked constantly. So, you know, look, Josh, as of today, you tell me, what kind of offer are you making to keep Marcell Ozuna on this Braves team, assuming the DH is still going to be around?
If the DH is around, I'm never good at this question because
I know it's not exact. I'm trying to get a ballpark on how
cheapo,
excited you are.
And I think that baseball players should make like $80,000 a year and be yelled at and ostracized and you know, just treated like bums like they are. So I don't know, man. I mean the industry answer would be like,
get
6 years, $100 million.
Let me ask you this. How many years would you go? That's more important to me than the amount.
How old is he? 31, 32? Or is he not even 30
yet? I thought it would have it there. He is, to be absolutely exact, he's 29.
He's 29. I would give him 3 years.
Really? Yeah. Only three, huh? Wow. I think I'm kind of crazy. But at 29, I would offer him a 6-year deal, Josh. I know that's stupid, but the way baseball works now is the Dodgers ship Matt Kemp to San Diego with an obscene contract when he was playing absolutely nothing, and the Dodgers were just fine. I kind of believe you just load up a big contract, give it to him, and keep the guy hitting dingers for you. I don't know. I mean, He's not perfect. I'm not saying he's Mac Trout, but if you put him in at DH, and if this is, they seem to have unlocked something with his hitting this year for sure. Let the dude hit dingers. He seems to fit well with his team. Ozuna and Acuna seem to love, I mean, get along really good. It seems like the right thing. He could play a little outfield if you absolutely need him to. It's not like he's just absolutely horrible in the outfield. He's been okay this year. You know, you don't want him out there as your main outfielder, but if you needed to, like, move somebody around or had a little injury for a few weeks, he could definitely fill in that role. I mean, let him be your big poppy for the Atlanta Braves.
Okay. Was there any, was so, there anybody, like, for me, was there anybody, any thought leaders or bloggers or writers or media members or podcasters who thought that he was not going to fit in with this team?
I don't know.
I don't remember anybody thinking that.
I remember there was, I think I remember having this thought myself, and I don't remember if I said it on the podcast or not, about being a little curious how it would go coming from the Cardinals after last year's postseason.
Oh, yeah, just having.
And joining the Braves. Yeah. But it wasn't like a personality thing as much as just like, you know, they just had this like kind of contentious series Jack Flaherty hitting people and different things.
You know how there's like that, this part of like far left woke Braves Twitter that is like waiting for like anybody to like, you know, call Acuna lazy or something. The same guys are every time Ozuna does something, they're always like, "Where's those people that thought he wasn't going to fit in the clubhouse?" You know, like what are you talking?
Yeah,
about? Yeah. They want people
Yasiel
really.
That was Yasiel Puig we thought didn't fit. Yeah,
I've wanted Yasiel Puig for years, but yeah, I get that.
I know you did. But Jeff Schultz was the one who said Yasiel Puig might not be the right fit. Remember, he's a racist. That's the way they painted that.
I mean, is he the worst? Jeff Schultz is
far left Jewish friend of the show. Jeff Schultz is a racist, right? You know, that's that's the way it works. Oh man. For those that may not have picked up, that's a lot of sarcasm. Just to be clear, because sarcasm doesn't always, you know, translate. That's a crap ton of sarcasm. So we talked about Ozuna. We've talked about Freddie. But Josh, I want to talk to you about a conversation I had with a buddy of mine. And I don't know if I've ever felt this way about any baseball team before. It's a crazy thought. Going into this offseason, regardless of what happens in the playoffs, okay? I have never thought that there is a baseball team that might go from having the absolute worst numbers of a starting rotation to the absolute best numbers of a starting rotation without adding a single pitcher.
Are you saying they didn't add anybody from last year to this year?
No, I'm saying if going into next year, you see how rough this season was. The Braves numbers were terrible because Soroka was hurt, Folty crapped the bed, Newcomb didn't ever really get a chance to do anything. I mean, rightfully so. He looked like crap his first few starts, and they didn't have time to give him a chance to work through anything.
Right.
They used a lot of, I mean, shoot, Robbie Erlin pitched for this team. Tommy Malone.
Have you seen his wife on Twitter,
anyway,
by the way?
She's very angry that people were upset that her husband couldn't pitch.
Dude, she is certifiable.
She's full on Karen.
I mean, Karen's a certain type of person. So Karen has a degree. You know what I mean? Okay. I don't think Tina has one of those.
Okay. I don't know. She might be registered. I'm just saying. But
she might be what?
But. She might be certifiably registered as to have some kind of degree and being crazy.
Yeah.
But when I look at the Braves team, I'm looking and I say, okay, Josh, this team comes back next year. They say they don't add a pitcher at all, right? I think they will, but say they don't. Uh-huh. You get Soroka back. You have Freed. You have Wright. You have Ian Anderson. That's four pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
You have Bryce Wilson, who's 22 and looks like he's kind of figured some things out here at the end of the year. I'm not saying Bryce Wilson's like an end-all be-all. I'm just saying, like, he's an innings eater guy that looks like he's figured some things out that's really young, right? You got Tucker Davidson, who had a terrible start the other day, but I'm not even worried about that. Like, Tucker Davidson's going to be a good pitcher.
Yeah, I forgot they were playing. I keep forgetting the season's going on.
After they clinch, it gets weird.
After football starts, Tucker Davidson, though, whatever.
I get it. Tucker Davidson has a weird, you know, he gave up like 8 runs or something on Sunday. That being said, I'm not the least bit worried about it. I mean, he had no changeup.
And this stuff actually, as I've gotten older, like actually kind of matters. When I was younger and like really into the prospects, as many of these nerds are now, I would be, you know, remember I was silly, but I wasn't actually serious, but part of me was serious a little bit, maybe, but like, mm-hmm. I was high, like Luke Dykstra, like Ray Patrick Titter. And then as I've gotten older, rankings actually matter, you know? And so, it's rare, and it does happen. It does happen when a guy like, who, you know, is not like, there have been some amazing baseball players who were never, you know, Baseball America ranked prospects. Kurt Schilling.
Sure.
Jorge Posada. Tim Wakefield, you know, sucked as a prospect. Jim Edmonds sucked as a prospect. There's many. But for the most part, though, it's pretty close-ish. So if a guy is, like, not ranked, or if he's, like, you know, he's number 21 on the Braves' top 30 prospects, it's like, I don't know.
Sure.
So what was Tucker?
Yeah, he's ranked ninth. He's ranked ninth in the Braves' prospect list, but okay, that's right behind Wilson Contreras. I mean, you know, he's not a no-name guy.
Top 10,
Especially when you consider who's ahead of him. I mean, you know, that includes like Christian Pache, Drew Waters, Shea Langeliers, and Wilson Contreras. So, I mean, you got legit quote studs that we think are the real deal ahead of him. Shea's a catcher. Yes, I think so. Yes, for sure. Bryce Wilson ahead of him. Braden Shoemake's ahead of him. Shortstop, Braden Shoemake, 6'4", 190 pounds. Kyle Muller is another pitcher that we'll probably see next year. They said he's worked all offseason at the alternate training site. They've been developing, working with him during this time. I read an article about it this week. They've been working with him on developing a third pitch and really working on it during this. He's been at the alternate site all year, and they never called him
up.
Very nice. So when I look at all those names, I figure the Braves will probably add a fifth starter type guy. Maybe even somebody that's like a veteran, like a Cole Hamels kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, hopefully a healthy version, but you know what I'm saying. Somebody that you think's going to eat some innings and go a little ways. But when I look at that rotation, Josh, I think even if it's just the top three, if it's just Soroka, Fried, and Anderson, mm-hmm. that makes you probably the best rotation in the National League East.
I think so. I think that a healthy Soroka, Fried, and Anderson, that's what the Mets have wanted to be the last 5 years. Honestly, that is DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Mats, basically.
And before Mats, it was Dark Knight, Gotham Hero.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, Matt Harvey. What was his name? Yeah. Matt Harvey. Yeah, but I mean, that's what they thought
I don't recognize him as legitimate, but I know what you mean. But Syndergaard, Matt's, DeGrom. We're about to see, I think Braves fans are about to see what they wanted to be with Soroka, Fried, and Anderson. I tell you what, Ian Anderson, dude, like, he's just one of those guys that, like, I mean, the people in the know haven't been sleeping on him, but I think a lot of fans and even a lot of, like, just content creators, you know, in the Braves podcast blogger world haven't really been high on him. And not on purpose, but maybe just because he's not that excitable, perhaps.
I think people think he's not Jacob deGrom, so we shouldn't be so excited, meaning he doesn't throw 100. He throws 95. Dude, you know, that's pretty fast.
I was looking at
if
his
you can control
it this week, dude. He's got a 1.2% barrel percentage, which is top 2% MLB. He's got an expected slugging of 258, top 1% in MLB this year. Dude has a 95 mile an hour heater, right? But he throws his changeup 30.8% of the time, which has a 39.8% whiff rate. And he's got an expected WOBA of 197.
Yeah, like, that's ridiculous.
It's stupid. His Baseball Savant page is stupid good, man. It's very, and it's not like, it's not one of those fluke things. You're like, oh, I mean, it's not like, so for me, I like Jacob Webb. I think Jacob Webb is really good. But when I see his advanced metrics numbers, it might be like killer. I'm not like, that's really promising for the future.
Yeah.
Because it's Jacob Webb, you know? But Ian Anderson.
Right.
You're talking about like a first round draft pick. People that get paid money to evaluate people and to sign people like this are huge on this kid. You know, people that know way more about development and stuff like and pitching them than we ever will. You know, when they all are like, this kid is a stud, and then you see a 1.2% barrel percentage, and you're looking at his stuff, and you're like, okay. He's got a sick fastball with some movement, 95 miles an hour. But he's throwing his changeup like almost 35% of the time. Like it's like to me, that's like he's really talented and smart. You know what I mean? Like, dude, he's a badass, man. Like I don't know if I haven't been this excited about a young pitcher. Maybe since Soroka, I guess, which hasn't been too long ago, obviously.
Yeah.
But Ian Anderson, man, dude. Just nasty. That first game when he just made the Yankees his bitch. Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, he just walks, and when he walks, he has to kind of waddle because his balls are so big. I mean, he's just not a scared
guy.
He just comes out there and pitches.
And I've got a little bit of a conspiracy theory about this, but he shook off Tyler Flowers a couple times, and I'm watching. I'm like, okay, two things here. If he really just shook off Tyler Flowers in his debut game, you have balls of steel. Okay, you just shook off. You know, you can say what you want about Tyler Flowers. I think Tyler Flowers is a really good game caller and just a premier catcher behind the plate.
I think he's a bad game caller, but a premier catcher.
Whatever.
I'll give
you. But
you
just
that.
Shook off a major league catcher in your debut against the Yankees.
Yeah,
like how big are your balls, sir? You know. But then I've thought about this too for years. Like, what if? What if catchers like Tyler Flowers too? Because Tyler's smart. He's a smart guy. What if catchers have a shake me off sign?
That's
you
true.
Ever thought about that?
So, I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do. Yeah. That way to get in the batter's mind, you know,
right.
Like mess with his head. I guarantee you they do. I don't like Flowers game calling because he gets stuck in a pattern and doesn't recognize that a guy doesn't have a pitch tonight. So he has him throw it like four times in a row. And of course, like they just crush a fastball when the guy doesn't have his fastball and there's no movement on it. Yeah. I feel like while Tyler steals a lot of strikes because he's phenomenal at framing and behind the plate stuff, I also feel Tyler hurts pitchers, especially guys like, for example, Folty, Bryce Wilson, guys that rely super heavily on their fastball to have a lot of movement for them to be successful pitchers.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm not blaming everything wrong with Folty on Tyler Flowers. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think there's times Flowers gets hung up in a pattern and it costs guys, and they've given up three runs because he couldn't just call a different pitch. Yeah. But
now, I will say,
I don't know.
I've been excited about guys who ended up sucking, right? Like, I made a joke about Cy Whistler, right? And I called him Cy Whistler because he clearly was not Cy Young.
Yeah. There was a time we thought Jenkins was going to be like a huge deal.
Yeah, but
you know?
Like Matt Whistler's debut against the Mets. I remember watching that and being like, oh my gosh, this kid's going to be good, you know?
Tom Glavine. Yeah, like Tom Glavine.
Yeah, I wrote an article about it. It was terrible. But this is different. This is different because Ian Anderson, when you see a kid that has the pedigree, you know, all the rankings, he was first round, you know what I mean? Like, and then small sample size, but then you see these things, you're like, okay, all right. You're talking about like a top of, like a number one on many teams.
Yeah.
So you got him, Max Fried, and Soroka. That is exciting for Braves fans. It really is.
And Kyle Wright, look, you know, Kyle's still developing. I'm not going to say that Kyle's going to be phenomenal, but he's
got the pedigree too. And I really buy into that more so now as I've gotten a little older than I used to. Because when I used to kind of cover the Braves, I was really into prospects, you know, from like 20, like 2015 through 2017, I was just super nerdy into prospects. You know, I listened to all the, you know, I listened to Talking Chop. I listened to all the nerdy Fangraphs, Effectively Wild. I got really into prospects, right? And when I did that, and I think people are guilty of this because I was one of them. I really, I'm not throwing shade, but I think guys like Andy, who I love, I adore Andy and Matt and those kind of guys. I think when you live and breathe prospects, you, and I did this, but you write and talk about like a guy that just is never going to be anything, as if he,
you build a narrative in your head
as if he's Barry Larkin, right. And it's not because you don't know baseball. It's just like you just follow these guys, and now there's Twitter, and they're on Twitter, and they're on your podcast, so you end up liking them. And Tucker Davidson was on my podcast. I love him. Lane Adams. Yeah. Lane Adams was on my podcast, and he follows me on Twitter. He's going to be great. And it's like, no, he's not very good, you know?
And I think part of that is that we kind of try to, especially if you're like writing about the prospects or telling other people about them, like you're trying to paint a picture of what this guy could be. And the more you paint that picture, the more you tend to believe the picture you just painted rather than the guy you actually are seeing.
Yeah, because everybody wants to be right. I'm that guy. If you paint a picture of whoever, like if Tucker Davis or something, and you write this really thought out, really good written or well written article, and his ceiling is like, I don't know, like his ceiling is like, Steve Avery. I don't know. Like you want that to be correct. You want that to be true, so you can be like, I told you guys that I was hiring Tucker Davidson before anybody was. Hello, but back to Kyle Wright. All that to say, the older I've gotten, I think I buy way more into rankings and pedigree more than I used to, right? Because I don't follow the minutia of minor league ball anymore. I don't really care. I look at it from a high level. I'm like, okay, you just told me Tucker Davidson's number 9. That's all I need to know. Okay, cool. He's good. Top 10. Sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's like Kyle Wright. And then the other guys.
Good. Pedigree. The other guys. He has promise. He looked like crap at times this year. I'm like, I'm still high on Kyle Wright because he was a first round draft pick. He's still super young. He went to Vandy. He's got all the pedigree. He could be a stud, I think. Yeah. But we'll see.
Yeah. And I mean, it looks like he's figured some things out. You know, the biggest thing is he's got to learn to repeat that motion over and over and over and over and over. And you know, Josh, and the names I haven't called that could be still very viable candidates, okay? Patrick Weigel could be a guy. I think he's probably bullpen bound, but maybe he gets, you know, maybe he figures something out. Maybe they give him a chance. I get that's probably bigger. Another name I haven't called, Oscar Anoa. He's looked fantastic. Look, he's had problems. I'm not saying he's a perfect pitcher yet, but he's what, like 21, 22? He's like a kid still.
Really? I didn't know.
So, yeah, I mean, I will double check.
I've only watched him once this year. I think it might have been his first game or something. So,
yeah, he's had some up and down things, you know? I mean, like, it's not like I'm sitting here saying he's perfect. He's 22. He's 22. So, this is a kid that right now, I mean, when the Braves got him, he had 14 pitches. 14, Josh.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember hearing about that. Okay. Yeah.
And he had 5 of them greatest plus pitches. Like, that's crazy. You know?
That's some like 1921 stuff right there. Like,
yeah.
14 pitches. Yeah. You know, the spitball, the flying phoenix, the wham bam thank you man.
So, I mean, I think it. Yeah, exactly. And I think if they can get him to settle down a little bit, just keep him in the strike zone a little bit more, just a little bit more, he's going to be phenomenal. And they're gonna take their time with a guy like that. They gave him starts this year because he's 22 and they think he can be like a real deal. Never forget, we got him. You know what Copy got him for, Josh? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Jaime Garcia.
Really? Okay. Oh, okay.
Grand Slam Jaime. That's funny. He got, you remember Jaime hit that Grand Slam as a pitcher against the Dodgers, and like a week later they traded him for Oscar Yanoa.
Dude, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. That Grand Slam's probably one of the more memorable home runs of the last 10 years for the Braves, I'm just being honest. It was kind of cool. It was kind of cool. But, you know, Oscar Yanoa, look, Josh, we've talked about the problems with it. We're not going to go all into it. But Tuki Toussaint, the verdict's still out. Like, I know he's 24. I think he needs 150 innings pitched at AAA. I think he needs to pitch.
I agree with you. I think he does. But to me, like, he's not – I don't look at him. He's not up there with, like, the way I look at some other, like, the Kyle Wrights and the Ian Andersons. Because I don't know. I followed Tukey a little bit through the minors and stuff. So I'm just I like him.
Yeah, I know you're out on him. But I definitely don't think he's, like – I haven't given up on Tukey, and I don't think the Braves have. But I do think he needs, like – if they're going to leave him as a starter, he needs to pitch 150 to 200 innings at Triple-A to keep his release point. Because that's his number one problem. He loses his mechanics and he falls apart. If he didn't lose his mechanics, Tukey's an ace pitcher all day long. I truly believe that. That being said, I mean, I think the ship has sailed on Sean Newcomb, but the name's still there in the system at this point.
I think so too.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kind of sad, but I think it has.
I think it's,
you know. Maybe he becomes a Lucas Sims. Honestly, maybe, you know what I mean? Like,
maybe
good,
so.
Good trade piece, good something cool, and he goes on
big
and flourishes somewhere else. God bless him. We'll miss Bill Newcomb, his dad. I hope he never unfollows me on Twitter, no matter who Sean plays for.
So, yeah,
and still send behind the scenes.
Big lefties are
about the Braves clubhouse.
Big lefties are slow to develop. Big lefties are slow to develop.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
maybe he's 28 and figures it out.
You say that, but you just say that because of like a couple guys. Like who else other than like Randy Johnson and like Tom Glavine can you think of that are big lefties that took? Like Sandy Koufax, I guess, would be one. But
almost all of them, like pretty much every big left-handed hitter, with the exception of Clayton Kershaw. Yeah,
I don't know if that's a thing.
It's very common.
I don't know if that's a
lefties
thing.
With power lefties.
Power lefties, okay.
Almost always come up and are slow to develop because when you're young, power righties are identified very early on, right?
Okay.
But left-hand mechanics are weird, and most coaches don't know how to teach left-hand mechanics at a high school level.
Okay.
Not significantly, and I'm talking like high-caliber left-hand mechanics. I mean, they can teach you to throw the ball to home, but I'm just saying like – so most big lefties, especially big lefties, have a lot to figure out with their motion.
So let's there's some layers here. So because there are fewer lefties than righties, right?
Yep.
So because there are fewer lefties, that means that there are fewer left-handed coaches or instructors. Therefore, if you're 11, 12 years old, and you're a lefty, just based on math, you have less resources typically than a right-hander would have.
Yeah,
okay,
I mean,
I never thought about that.
I truly think that's a lot of.
I never thought about that.
Also, here's another part of it, Josh. Most high school players can't hit lefties because a lot of high school players are righties.
Because
right?
Most are righties, right? Makes sense.
Right. So a lefty has like a built-in advantage, so he hasn't had to develop against top-tier talent that can hit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so let me give you another example. David Price, right?
Mm-hmm.
David Price was 24 before he figured out, and he made his like all star. He was second in the Cy Young voting. That was in 2010.
24 is young,
yeah. Right? Yeah, but he'd been pitching in the majors for 2 years.
That's not like lefties take forever to develop. That's 2 years.
Yeah, okay.
Not a long time.
I'm just giving you an example. He's not 19 coming up, is what I'm getting at here, buddy. I mean,
yeah, but 2 years.
I'm just saying,
okay.
Like,
that doesn't.
Okay.
To me, that doesn't equate to lefties take a long time to develop. It's just 2 years. If you told me, like, okay, it took him 3 or 4 years, maybe.
Okay, maybe David Price is not the best example. I'm just saying, lefties in general take a long time to develop.
Okay.
Name some power lefties. Isn't Chris Sale a lefty? I think he is.
CeCe's a lefty, right?
I don't know. I don't remember. Chris Sale's definitely a lefty. Okay.
Yeah. I think.
Let's see if I can find his numbers here.
Sale good? Really? I don't know. I think he was.
I know he started as a reliever.
I don't think I knew that.
Yep. Let's see. Chris Sale did not pitch for the Chicago White Sox until he was 22. At 22, he came up as a reliever, and he was good. He had a 2.79, right? And then he went straight in at 23. But again, we're talking like 23. Now, that being said, Sean Newcomb's 27. Like, he's reaching make it or break it status. I'm not sitting here defending Sean Newcomb. I'm simply saying, like, I think he's probably got another shot somewhere. You know, like, I just don't know that it's in
there. I agree.
I don't know why I'm wasting so much time defending him. But I'm just saying, like, I do think he's still got a lot of talent if he could figure out how to throw it over the plate.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Anyway, it's been a, you know, looking back at the season, biggest surprise for you?
The biggest surprise for me, huh? Biggest surprise. Honestly, I'll man up and admit when I'm wrong, man. Marcell Ozuna. When the Braves signed Marcell Ozuna, I was at my in-laws' house down in Noonan, Georgia, and I think it was during the holidays. It's some point during the holidays last year, and in the group chat, we were texting about it, and honest to God, your boy right here looks at his batting average, and I was like, I mean, okay.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
I was like, one year, like, 240, he's going to hit maybe 20 dingers. I don't know. He can't play defense. Like, I'm totally not excited. He has more than a lot of players I can think of, man, in recent years, has made me totally wrong, has totally surprised me. I didn't think he was going to suck, but I really thought, like, okay, I thought, you know, low average. Cause to my defense, that is in vogue now, right? To my defense, I really thought, okay, he's going to hit about 240, 245. He's going to have a little bit of pop. Okay, whatever. And dude is, what,
yeah,
hitting 338 with like a 180-something, yeah, WRC plus. Just stupid. Like, just hitting, just raking. Not just dingers, but just raking. I mean, he's been outstanding, dude. And I honestly...
To your defense, he's batted 265, 269, 259, 266, 312, 280, 241. 338 in his career. So like, maybe not quite as not quite a 240 hitter, but still 260. You were still, I get what you're saying.
Right,
you thought he was
right,
gonna be,
yeah,
mediocre.
I looked at his career
like
line,
a good
I'm
ad,
like,
but
man,
not
yeah,
huge.
But he has been amazing. He's been, and also, I honestly, with him too, even though I've never been low on him, I've been high on him since the Braves got him, especially his defense. But I never thought he would do what he's doing this year. I thought, at best, this guy is going to hit 230 and hit 27 bombs at bet. Like, that's the best he could ever
do. In, like, 162 games.
Exactly.
Season. Right, like, in 160.
Yeah. Exactly. What's his name? Adam Duvall. My mind went blank. Duvall has made me so surprised. I mean, really, like, he's mm-hmm. been amazing at the plate, dude. Amazing. Both of those guys.
Yeah.
I've always liked Adam Duvall, but I thought, okay, he's...
Can we give, you know, Seitzer a huge round of applause? Because, I mean...
Should he be held accountable?
He's figured some things out. I think he should. I think they should give him, like, an extended contract. He's been fantastic. you know, just, like, and I'll tell you the other big surprise for me. I thought it was a good signing. I didn't know how good a signing it was. Travis d'Arnaud has been, like,
yes,
all-star
good,
caliber,
yeah, right,
keep crushing
he's
it.
Been the best,
you know,
offensive catcher in baseball. And no,
yeah,
one's really talked about it. Except for a few,
right,
people, I guess. But, yeah, dude.
Imagine next year when Tyler Flowers is gone and it's Travis d'Arnaud and Wilson Contreras.
Dude, that's just stupid. That's video game numbers.
I say Tyler Flowers is gone. I would assume that because Contreras is ready, you know. But, but yeah, I mean, it's been a crazy season. But the Josh, okay, so biggest surprise. Obviously, we could talk about injuries, all that kind of stuff. You know, that's like, it is what it is. It happened. You move on. I'll tell you my biggest disappointment, though.
Don't say it.
What do you think I'm going to say?
If you say it, I swear to God, I'll quit.
Okay, that Johan Camargo got demoted to AAA.
Okay, that's fine.
And couldn't keep a spot on the team.
Yeah, that was a little bit surprising.
That's one of my biggest disappointments, is I like Camargo. I think he's a Major League Baseball player. But he didn't have it this year, and I can't blame him for demoting him. I mean, he didn't. I think he's a guy that needs to play every day.
It's not just that.
And
it's
he's not going to do that for Atlanta. He's not. Okay, what is
he needs to party, and he needs to, you know, sniff some stuff off the backside of a, you know.
What? Lady. Where does that come from?
I don't know. Baseball players? He needs to be a baseball player off the field, if you know what I'm saying, Ken.
I don't really know what you're saying, but
he
okay.
needs to be a baseball player. He needs to be. It's COVID, man. These guys go to their hotel rooms and play video games. I mean,
I
really, Johan
okay,
Camargo needs to be treat. He needs to go out and be treated like he's A-Rod, because he
that
flourishes. He flourishes when he is just at the club until
the Panamanian Prince.
Yeah, the Panamanian Prince needs to be worshipped by these girls in Buckhead. If he's not, he's gonna suck. He's going to be sent to AAA or the reserve place.
So does this tell us that Marcell Ozuna might be a little too hard a partier, and this year has kind of like reined that in a little bit? You know, I mean, he was on the team with Jose Fernandez for a long time. Obviously, that team liked the party. Like, that's not a shot at anybody. Yeah. Just saying, it is
what
that, it
is. What that
right?
means is Camargo doesn't get hangovers. Camargo's that guy in college. That's, you knew. Okay. Like, for me, like one of my best friends, Carter Vargo. Carter could throw down on a Monday, Tuesday night, dude. Wake up, 7 a.m. Wednesday morning, 100% all day. I hated him for that because I can't do that. I can't even.
Yeah.
I go like 70% of Vargo on a Wednesday night, and I am done the next day until 2 p.m. I can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Johan can go balls to the wall, no hangover, okay, flourishes, you know. Ozuna parties, balls to the wall, clubbing till 4 a.m., doesn't feel great, hits about 240, maybe 260 at the bet, you know what I mean? Like, it has an effect on him. This year, he can't do that. Maybe he got...
Adam Duvall... He must be the life of the party a lot of years. I'm just saying. Like, the type 1 diabetics, we know Boggy. The girls love him. That's why they all follow Knock Combination. I like half of our female followers follow because they love Boggy and want to be in his
team. It's more than half.
You're probably right. But they like the red hair, too. I will give Boggy that credit. But you can't trust one. But nonetheless. You know,
I think that's just female.
Duvall.
Like male redheads.
Another big year. Yeah, another huge year for Duvall. Freddie, I don't think Freddie's a partier. I think Freddie's just really good. I mean, if I'm just 100% honest.
I think Freddie's like a robot. Probably has the personality of this pen on my desk.
I don't know about that, but I do think, I will say this, Josh, this is the first time that I remember in a long time that Freddie had a complete season 100% healthy.
Well, 60 games, but yeah.
Well, it counts as a complete season. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, he had the wrist thing nagging him for a couple years. He had, like, what was it? I think it was a hammy thing a couple years ago that he missed out. Some back stuff. And before that, he was like Mr. Iron Man. He played every game. But I do think, like, in the past several years, he's had little injuries that just kind of nagged him, nicked him, that kind of stuff. Anyway, Josh, let's change gears. We have dissected, desected, resected the Braves season.
We put a bow on it.
To be honest... If people want to know more about that, there's 1,000 podcasts that are going to go into all the details of who was good, who was bad, and let's be honest, all you guys really care about is Josh's wild things. That being said, Josh, let's talk a little NFL right quick. You ready?
Yeah, my body's ready.
We're gonna speed run the NFL weekend.
Okay, let's go.
Mm-hmm. All right. Did you watch much football, first of all?
I did, yes.
Okay, I just making sure we are on the same page. I don't want to.
I watched more college than NFL, admittedly. Yeah.
Okay. Down goes LSU. Did you watch?
Yeah.
Did you watch Mike Leach rocking the SEC?
What's his name? Threw for like 600 something yards.
Yeah. Stupid. Yeah. It was.
Did you
crazy.
See his post game
psycho
interview?
Crazy. No, I did not. What was that?
Oh, dude, they were like right after the game. He's still on the field. They're, you know, sideline girl reporter. You know, how do you feel? Like, and he's like, well, Buffalo and Green Bay wouldn't play us because of their schedule, so we had to play these guys, you know. Yeah.
It's great. To be fair, that LSU team has some trouble. They only returned four players from the actual starters for the national championship team. So this is not your national champion LSU team. Also, they lost Joe Brady, who is their offensive coordinator. On top of that, they lost Joe Burrow, who was the best quarterback in probably NCAA history, at least according to a single season. And so, I mean, it's one of those things where they also lost right before the game, the night before the game, LSU lost its number one cornerback. And so, yeah, I mean, it hurts. That being said, Josh, do you think Mike Leach makes a dent in the SEC with Mississippi State?
Yeah, I think so. I'll admit this. I don't know jack shit. Well, I know a little bit now, but before Saturday, I don't know anything about his coaching style. What I learned Saturday is he shows up with like a notebook, like almost like a little notepad. He's very old school. And
he's like the coach from Tommy Boy.
I love it.
Not Tommy Boy. From the Adam Sandler movie. My mind's blanking. Waterboy. Yeah.
He has a little notebook and he kind of does. It's very, it's not super complex. He doesn't have like a 60 page binder. Like a lot of these guys have like huge ass binders. I mean, just like, it's like a science.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got like this little notepad or a little, not even a notebook. It's a notebook. It's a little, like a Moleskine looking thing. He shows up, he's got like a couple plays and it just like his game is like, just beat the hell out of the other team. Just outplay them.
Yeah, just air raid them. Yeah, air raid, throw the ball constantly. I don't know if that works. I think he's going to have trouble.
Yeah,
I think he's going to have some trouble when he hits a real defense. But he can beat Arkansas with that. He can be. I mean, he'll do all right. He'll do okay. I think Georgia plays him.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be interesting. Mike Leach in the SEC is a good thing.
Absolutely, man. That's great.
What about Oklahoma getting beat by Kansas State?
Yeah. What's funny is I was like, drinking some Mick Ultra when you texted me about that. And combined with not a lot of sleep, maybe Friday night, I saw that because you're like, dude, KSU game, KSU Oklahoma. And for like, honestly, for 5 minutes, I thought, oh my gosh, the Kennesaw State Owls are beating Oklahoma.
How high were you, Josh? How high were you at the
this
moment?
Is amazing.
Just being honest, like you were out of your head, weren't you?
we had some. I'm just saying, it was some good stuff that they brought over Friday night. I was still coming off of it, just being real. And so, yeah, I was like, for 5 minutes, I was like, dude, can this all? And I, dude, this is so embarrassing. I Twitter searched. I Twitter searched Kennesaw State game, like nothing comes up. I swear this is so embarrassing. I go to Kennesaw State football Twitter account, like nothing. Like they're not even tweeting about anything. I'm like, what the hell, dude?
Like Kennesaw State is beating Oklahoma, and they're not tweeting
like,
about
what?
It.
What? And then I was like, wait, KSU, oh my god, oh Kansas State, oh man, oh shit. And then like, and then I stopped drinking. I was like, I need to stop, seriously. I didn't have another beer till like 10 o'clock. I was like, just water, Josh, just water. So
hey, just in time, JT Holtz is joining the show. JT, what's up, man?
Buddy,
what's up, man? So you thought Kansas State was Kennesaw State?
Dude, I had some friends.
He did. When
we
I texted
some friends. Some like, we got these people we know from Mountain City that come up every now and then that Nikki knows, and they brought some stuff, and yeah.
Oh, some stuff, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But here's the good news. Woke up super early Sunday. Read my Bible, went to church. Like, I'm good.
That's right. Got to get that WAP in, that worship and praise.
I did. Had to, man.
As long as it's not WAP, we'll be okay.
I think that's what WAP stands for, right? Worship and praise.
Yeah. I think so. I think you're right. JT, We were just bouncing around college football real fast, games that actually mattered, speed running it a little bit.
Right.
But the next thing that was coming up was going to be Auburn and Kentucky. Did you watch that game, Josh?
Auburn and Kentucky, I flipped back and forth between that and was that playing at the same time as the LSU?
Ole Miss Florida.
Yeah, that's
Ole Miss Florida.
Yeah, I watched more of that than, because I really wanted to see Lane Kiffin win, even though obviously he got his butt kicked, but I was like, I want Lane Kiffin to win because I like Lane Kiffin. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, who doesn't like Lane Kiffin? He's a treat.
He's so funny. Yeah. So I was kind of wondering.
Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach joining the SEC is like the best news the SEC's had in
time. Oh, yeah. It's outstanding. It's great.
I didn't
they're good
watch
characters.
A lot of that game.
Can we just say.
But I did pick Auburn to win. And I did think it was funny that early on there was like everybody was freaking out about Kentucky. I'm like, dude, I really think Auburn's going to win handedly.
Kentucky's a dumpster fire.
Yeah, they suck.
How long does Mark Stoops keep that job? I know it's not the easiest place to recruit.
Keep it forever. He'll keep it forever. Golly. Because he can be competitive. They lost to Auburn. I think Kentucky, at the end of the season, you're going to look back and go, man, it's not bad. Like, 6-4, 7-3. I think Kentucky is a solid team.
But that's Kentucky's ceiling, JP. They're never going to be better than
that. Yeah, and that, you know what? Good for him. He's got a job where if he wins, like, 6-7 games every now and then, springs up to 8-4. I mean, 9-3, they'll build a statue of them. So, yeah. Kentucky in football is like a mid-major in basketball. Every 2 or 3 years, you get a bunch of seniors on the team, and you can make a deep run. And that's kind of how Kentucky is.
Yeah.
They can't win every year, but every 3-4 years, they can do something.
Shout out to Mark Stoops on being a fantastic recruiter, though, because he got a guy on his team named Cavassier Smoke, and that's really, let's be honest, they should build a statue just because he recruited a guy named Cavassier Smoke. I mean,
and he really has done a good job of recruiting, like, not just Kentucky, but going up into Ohio and taking the leftovers from Ohio State.
He's
you know, the all-time winningest coach in Kentucky football history. You want to guess who it is?
Mark Stoops.
Nick Saban.
Bear Bryant.
Bear Bryant.
Still Bear Bryant from the 50s. That's crazy. It's still Bear Bryant. So, you can hate on him, but he's done better than anybody else has in that job. He's at least said, okay, I'm going to try something different and see if it works. And so far, so good.
Better chances of winning an SEC title. And I mean this truly. Like, really think about it. Vandy or Kentucky?
Kentucky.
Really?
Absolutely. They have less.
I don't think Kentucky ever has a shot of actually winning a title.
And Vanderbilt does? There's less academic restrictions.
Vanderbilt recruits smart guys, and every now and again, Vandy has one of those sneaky teams. What was it, about 6 years ago, 8 years ago, Vandy was sneaky good and they beat several SEC East teams.
And that coach is at Penn State now.
I know, James Franklin went there,
but here's the thing.
Right.
If they're that smart, then why are they playing football at Vandy? Be smart enough to take a scholarship elsewhere.
Well, it's true. But you'll make more money if you got that Vandy
degree,
let's be honest.
Look, if any of our kids get a ride to Vandy, we're going to be like, take it. It's a degree from Vanderbilt. Like, heck yeah. But Kentucky has a better recruiting base. Kentucky, definitely.
Florida, Ole Miss. Josh, you said you watched the game. What was your take away from the game?
I qualify all this stuff with, like, I don't know.
I know
the advanced stuff like JT does. Florida looks really good. They look like a really good football team.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will go this far. Ole Miss's defense looked really bad. Florida's defense looked equally bad.
I'd say they looked worse. Within the past decade, teams that have given up over, what was it? I'm trying to remember the exact number. It was 13 yards per attempt and over 400 yards of passing and over 35 points a game are 0-17.
Oh, wow.
They're now 1-18 because Florida won on Saturday. So it was a historically bad day for them to actually get the win.
I didn't know they were that bad.
And I think they're going to play a little more potent offenses than Ole Miss. And Lane Kiffin's first game, Lane Kiffin can cook up some things, but
that offense is so fun to watch.
Lane
Kiffin is the heir of Steve Spurrier. He looks like him. He plays like him. I can see that. He calls coaches like him. You know, I mean, he calls games like him. It just feels like Steve Spurrier when you're
I thought he would be coach. A hit in games. When Florida had a coaching opportunity available, I was like, man, Lane Kiffin would kill it at Florida. Like, he would have the – just fits his personality. Now, Ole Miss kind of does, too. Ole Miss just has – you would think that Ole Miss would have some sort of football tradition, like some sort of winning history, and they have none. Like –
yeah. Well, not like Eli is their claim to fame. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Archie Manning, like, their last conference championship, I think, was in, let's see, if it was 57, maybe it was. Yeah, I mean, that's a long time ago. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Florida looks good. Kyle Trask looks good. Kyle Pitts looks like, you know, a difference maker. But there's a lot of questions on that defense, for sure.
I'm surprised they haven't been forced to change their team name yet, you know what I mean? Because
there's been talk about that for sure. It's been brought up. And Ole Miss was the that was the term for the wife of the plantation owner. The Ole Miss.
Oh, I didn't know that was what it was called.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So in both ways, Ole Miss and Rebels.
I really thought you were going with Florida Gator there for a minute. I was not tracking with what you were saying.
Florida homosexual turs.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that's where Josh was going with that whole. Seriously, 100%. I thought
the cancellation of the Gator Chomp was like insanely stupid. That was like what JT said about Ole Miss. Like, I understand.
You never thought.
I totally get like Google that to know. We should maybe talk about that for sure. But the Gator Chomp. You're kidding me, right? You're telling me you're going to cancel the
yeah, like no one had any idea where Gator Bait came from until someone brought it up, and then you can Google it and find out like, oh, okay, people did really horrific things 200 something years ago.
Yeah,
like that doesn't have much to do with the fact that it was brought around in 1995 by a
can we also
African American player
on
the team that made it a thing on for the fans to do.
Right.
Yeah, also Gator Bait, while it certainly probably had its civil connotations, it also, like, people have been saying Gator Bait for anybody that's been lost in the swamps and chopped up in little bits by the mafia and everyone else for
ever since
years.
Jerry Reed saying Amos Moses, people have been talking about Gator Bait. But
right.
I always thought it was stupid because the one thing a gator wants to avoid is, well, Gator Bait.
By the way, how are you gonna drop a Jerry Reed reference and not know Don Williams? I'm just...
Buddy, listen, have you... Come on, because I know what Smokey and the Bandit is. Even the Waterboy, Jerry Reed, was killing it in the Waterboy.
Low-key great actor. I was thinking about him this week. I went down like a little Jerry Reed rabbit hole on YouTube, and I'm, you know, there's not a lot
of
people in each generation who are that talented.
Best,
like,
best
all around.
Guitar picker, picker probably that I've ever heard with the exception of the guy from Hee Haw. I don't think anybody's
Roy
better
Clark.
Than Roy Clark.
Roy Clark.
But at the end of the day.
Jerry Reed. And who doesn't love Eastbound and Down? I mean, come on.
Right.
Yeah.
He wrote that song. They were like, hey, we're making a movie about this thing. Can you write a song about this? He's like, yeah, sure.
He's like, heck yeah.
My dad, when I was
his voice, the guitar, just the whole package. Like,
when I was in college, I started wearing trucker hats, became a thing. You know, I guess they kind of still are. But I wore like a trucker hat home from college, and my dad started calling me Snowman. And I was like, I don't know what that is. And then he made me watch Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
And he was just making fun of me for wearing like a Jerry Reed type hat.
So we'll wrap this up with two quick things. First of all, Tennessee game. Any takeaways? Tennessee's okay. Tennessee, South Carolina. Tennessee.
They have the longest winning streak in the country, which I guess is something.
Yeah, they do.
I saw Travis tweet about that.
Yeah. Any other SEC games? Oh yeah, Georgia, Arkansas.
I forgot about those guys.
Alabama beat the dog crap out of somebody, but I don't really think that game.
Y'all want me to
counts.
Break down that game?
They didn't cover the spread. That's all I cared about. And they
y'all want me to break down that game and explain that game to you?
Go for it.
So this is what happened. So we're at home. We got the stuff going on, and I've got the ribs and the smoker, and we've been talking about watching this game, the Georgia game at 4 o'clock for days, y'all. Okay, and I'm weird. I actually am one of the few husbands that enjoy watching football with their wives, because my wife is a coach's kid, and she turns into that little girl from Remember the Titans during football, and it's super awesome. And she knows, like, the coverage. Like, Nikki, like she knows what's going on. I don't know. I just see, like, two.
Can I watch a game? I want to watch a game with your wife so bad.
Yeah. You kind of did, but, like, so we had wrong. The baby,
like,
though,
it feels
time.
So wrong. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I've never fantasized about a friend's wife as much as I'm fantasizing about Nikki, so, me in a football game
What really makes you feel like a loser, too, is I can't multitask. Nikki can, like, be texting and, like, be playing a game on her phone or be cooking and then, like, internalize everything that's going on. I'm like, how did you know that was going on? You weren't even watching. How did you know that the secondary did this thing? I don't even understand how you saw that. She's like, well, the game's on. I'm like, yeah, but you weren't watching. Anyway, so all that to say, at about 3:45, y'all, this woman decides to start baking cookies. Okay. All right. And so for the first,
well, I mean, y'all were pretty lit, Josh. I'm for just the first, like, that's pretty.
Why not brownies?
I was so.
You thought KSU was Kennesaw State.
I was
Oklahoma
in my current
time.
State of mind. I was so in my feels that she would have the audacity to bake cookies while the Georgia Bulldogs are coming on TV. We've known about this for days. We knew the time, and you're going to go bake cookies?
I like how you turn into Ron White to say audacity.
So I'm marching like, to the kitchen, like mid first quarter, and Georgia is just getting their butts hit. They look terrible.
That's not Ron White. You've been listening to Phil Robertson. That's where you got audacity.
The audacity.
Dude, I've been 100% where you got it.
Yeah, I've been watching and listening to Unashamed way too much. Like, honestly, it's ruined me. Because now, like, after listening to the, honestly, I've probably listened like
I can hear
60
it.
Hours of Phil Robertson the past 2 weeks. And so now I don't see liberal and conservative. I don't see red and blue. I see God and godlessness. It's all I see.
Although Phil Robertson would never complain about Miss K's cooking.
You're right. He wouldn't. But true. He also wouldn't be smoking.
He would not have the audacity to make fun of Miss K's cooking.
But in my,
he would
in
not
my
turn
current
out to be
time
happy, happy,
of the
happy.
Day.
In my current stupor, I was really offended that she would do this. And then she starts laughing at me. She's like, why are you mad that I'm baking cookies, you idiot? Like, you're honestly giving me shit for baking cookies for a football game? Like, yes, because they came on at 4, and I want to watch it with you now. And she's like, you're an absolute idiot. Why am I even married to you? I'm like, what are you talking about? The Georgia Bulldogs are on TV. We talked about this. Let's go watch the game. She's like, I'm baking cookies. I'm like, stop baking cookies.
I'm glad Josh is breaking this game down for us.
I'm like, there's no logic.
I wouldn't know anything about what was going on if it weren't for
and
this.
I was like,
Nikki made cookies.
I was like interrogating her about baking cookies. I'm like, why are you baking cookies? She's like, that's what I do. I bake cookies. I'm like, now, of all times, you're going to bake cookies now? She's like, shut the hell up and go watch some football. Anyways, she finally gets done baking cookies, and at which point she starts watching the game with me, at which point the Georgia Bulldogs ended up doing really good, and that's why they ended up winning.
Ah.
Tough titties, see. Brown. Your hot wife that understands a cover two defense wants to bake you cookies before the game. I'm sorry. What's your complaint here?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just letting y'all know what happened.
Paranoia is a fickle mistress.
Yep.
JT, break this game down for me in a legit way real fast. Obviously,
yeah, first half sucked, second half was better.
It seemed like a pretty good breakdown, let's be 100% honest.
Right.
D'Juan Mathis, look, JT, I know a lot of hate's going around. He definitely did not have a good game. The dude's super athletic.
Yep.
He looked super rattled after he got hit. I got to be 100% honest. I think getting clobbered messed with him a little bit. I think he's got to figure out how to get over getting clobbered. And because, for example, he got clobbered. 3 plays later, he runs for what should have been a first down, and the idiot decides to run out of bounds before reaching the first down.
There was great consternation had in my dad's living room about that play, where he willingly stepped out a yard shy.
I was yelling at the television, what are you doing, you moron? You know,
I don't know if moron was the word that was used in my dad's living room, but it started with an M.
That's not the word I'm using either, but let's be 100% honest. But that being said, like, Hudson Mason. Listen to me. Stetson. He is not Hudson Mason.
Throwback.
Wow. Stetson coming in, and Stetson Bennett really looked very solid. I'll say this. Stetson's a gunslinger. He's not afraid to sling the ball.
Dude, if Stetson Bennett is 6'3", dude, he's your starting quarterback from here on out, and no one questions it. Fact is, he's tiny, and it looks tiny. He's listed at 5'11". That tells you he's 5'9".
Yeah.
So is
Kyler Murray. You know,
I've never seen a quarterback stand there next to the running back, and the running back who is leaned over, hands on knees, is still dwarfing him. He is extremely tiny. But kid's got grit. He's got heart. Everything that Dave Stewart would want to trade for if he was still the GM of the Diamondbacks, Stetson Bennett has it. But again, JT Daniels comes in, and if he's clear and healthy, he's a blue chipper all the way. And so you got to give him an opportunity. And if he stinks up in the first quarter, you still go back to Stetson Bennett.
Look, I'm not going to overlook this. No spring practice.
Oh, sure.
No spring game. No cupcakes to start the season.
The deck was stacked against.
Sure. Right. So I think Dwan gets another chance. I don't know if he's going to start, don't get me wrong, but I do think they give him another chance if JT's not ready to roll.
But right now he's not Dwan, he's DeTwo or DeThree. Dwan is going to be JT Daniels, and the emergency backup is the mailman, Stetson Bennett. So we'll see. I mean, there's a lot between now and Auburn. Who knows how they practice and how everything works out. I've got no idea. I'm just – you know, thank the Lord you got Stetson Bennett on the team, because he came in and saved our bacon, absolutely, on Saturday, because Dwan was not ready.
Also, Arkansas sucks, and the defense was pretty much phenomenal. Defense looked great. Georgia played sloppy the first half, specifically on offense. 11 penalties in the first half.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing to me, was the penalties. Not so much the being behind, but the sloppiness of 11 penalties. Like, good Lord, that's a game. That's two games for a lot of teams. That's right. And have that in one half was just – but once they were able to cut – they came out the entire – I don't know if they got a penalty on them the second half. So, once they were able to kind of tighten up, you know, come back together and just calm things down, the talent difference was there.
Yeah.
So –
I will say this, I like a lot that I saw from Todd Monken. I didn't like him starting every drive that Dwan Mathis had with a run up the middle. I'm pretty sure it was every drive. I think it was. I'm 99% sure it was every drive Dwan Mathis made. It was run right up the middle. And you know what else is crazy about that, JT? It was the only time he called run plays when Dwan Mathis was – it was first down, and it leaves Dwan in second and long every time. Yeah. So, I mean, that, like, stacks the deck against your young quarterback, doesn't get any kind of win under his belt or any kind of momentum whatsoever. So, look, Dwan's got to fix some things. That being said, like, I saw a lot of talent there, but I have to break this down. Like, Dwan Mathis has the flattest head in human history.
He had brain surgery, Ken. We give him a
break. Is that what
it's
from?
God.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe. He had a cyst removed from his brain.
Yeah, but that doesn't smush the front of your head down.
I'm just going to say it. Christopher Reeve has the weakest looking legs I've ever seen of any actor in Hollywood. Well, you know, he was.
Yeah, but JT, like, this isn't from that. Like, they didn't take the skull off. I mean, like.
I did love that he's on the sidelines after being benched, and you didn't see him sitting and pouting. He was head up. You know, he had a smile on his face. He understood. Like, hey, man, it's tough. It's hard to jump in, and with limited practice, with no cupcakes, just jump in against. And Arkansas is not great.
But Arkansas is a conference team.
They're an SEC team, for sure. Right. I mean, those 11 guys you're playing against, they got scholarships too. They're not scrubs.
They're well coached. They're not a team that's got bad coaches.
If you've been watching college football so far this year, do not take any team for granted. I mean, holy cow. You've seen Louisiana Lafayette go up there and beat the drums of Iowa State. I mean, Kansas lost to Coastal Carolina. You see this all over the place. You're seeing – so don't sleep on anybody. You know, you don't have the luxury of – there was no spring practice. There was limited fall practice. Everybody's kind of getting their feet under them as the regular season goes along. So – that's kind of how it is.
Only other game that didn't matter, but should be mentioned here is the fact that Georgia Tech got boat raced by Syracuse. And that's going to do it for today's Knock Home Nation podcast show.
Hey,
thanks
Michael
for
Lane.
Tuning in. If you want to, tune in tomorrow. We will have the episode out early for a very special Braves playoff podcast. Tune in. You don't want to miss it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Knockahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.